Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Often I say to myself, I say, self, some people must think that this is a game. It's not. You know, we sometimes in sports feel like when some breaking news happens that something's just a game. Like, for an example, when Will Wade got hired, actually, we should probably back up just a little bit more. When talks started happening and your boy came out here in February and said, hey, listen, you're going to get Will Wade. Like, either you're keeping Mac McMahon or it's going to be Will Wade. And I'm just telling you right now, you're going to get Will Wade. Nobody, everybody's just like, okay, he just this crazy coon-ass Italian just out there running his mouth. I'm like, no, they're going to get Will Wade. And see, people think it's a joke when Will started building the roster the way that he was. And you had national pundits coming out there, oh my God, my nipples hurt. And they were overreacting to something that, well, quite honestly, there are real no rules. You know, what's funny is that it only really depends about the rules in college athletics when a certain team that you want to win who doesn't abide by the rules, people in the national media turn a blind eye. Like RJ, well, I shouldn't say like RJ Lewis, but like Lewis Murphy a year ago for Indiana, who caught, was the individual for Indiana football last year, who's a seven-year player, and basically in the game-sealing drive for Indiana to win a national championship, well, he was the reason that they did it. Nobody said a word about Indiana having a seven-year player. In case you missed it, I'll just go ahead and say the Go 24/7 team, but Zach Nagy and I reported, in case you missed it on social media, Zach Nagy and I, in a joint effort, broke some news today about LSU guard RJ Lewis. Rumblings have been coming to me over the last couple of days in reference to RJ Lewis. They had been coming to me like, hey, this is going to be being pursued. This is on its way that LSU is going to be, or RJ Lewis is going to be suing the NCAA in an East Baton Rouge court asking for eligibility in a TRO against the NCAA. And today, Zach Nagy and I have confirmed such news. So in case you missed it, on August the 3rd, RJ Lewis filed an injunction, a TRO, a temporary restraining order against the NCAA. On Monday, R.J. Lewis, the guard who was formerly of St. John's, on August the 24th in the East Baton Rouge court, the Honorable Ronald Johnson will hear the case. So here is where things stand, as I know that before the show started, Nagy and I broke some news on the matter. Here's what I'll go ahead and tell you. What I will tell you is that the confidence surrounding this situation in Baton Rouge is confident that Will Wade did not make moves to bring in a roster that he did not deem that he felt that he would not be able to get eligible. So you can think about that and think of that as it will or as you will. But I have been saying for quite some time that it doesn't matter what you think. But it really doesn't. We can go full the rock and just say, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the nation thinks about this. If on Monday, a TRO is granted, a temporary restraining order is granted in the favor of RJ Lewis against the NCAA that makes him eligible to play. Same thing happened for Trinidad Chambliss. No one seems to bat an eye. Same thing happened for Lewis Murphy a season ago for Indiana. No one bats an eye. Oh, well, Blake, they didn't. They weren't in the G League. I don't give two flying Rudy Poos where they were or what they were doing. But here as an LSU fan is what you need to know. People are not going to like this. You are going to see a lot of hate behind this. People are going to come after Will Wade. They're going to go after LSU. They're going to go after LSU basketball. They're going to go after your fan base. They're going to go after the towel boy, the managers, the water boy's girlfriend, if he's got one. Everybody is going to be under attack. And here's what I'm here to tell you right now. Who gives a flying Rudy Poo? Who gives two flying Rudy Poos about what they have to say? Because there are no rules. Now, do I believe and will I say that I full-heartedly believe that we need guardrails in this sport? You're 1,000% right and accurate when you say that we need to have guardrails in sports from the collegiate level, from the top down. I am not here to discourage that or disagree with that, but there are none. So if Ole Miss can do it, if Indiana can do it, if everybody under the sun can do it, if an entire 2022 class can be deemed eligible for football, if an entire basketball 2022 class in a California state court can be deemed eligible, in a Colorado state court can be deemed eligible, you tell me where the rules are being broken. It's not Will Wade's fault on this specific situation that he is smarter than you. So whether it's Goodman Hoops on Twitter, whether it is name the guy who covers the national basketball scene, I don't know them. I'm not familiar with their game. Because quite honestly, I don't want to be familiar with their game. I know what CBS has. And Kyle Tucker and John Rothstein. That's all I need to know. That's all I really care about. But they're going to go out there and they're going to point fingers, laugh at you, and call you all kinds of names. Who gives a shit? In reference to RJ Lewis, in reference to this entire situation, it is of my belief and it is of my opinion, wholeheartedly, that if and when he is granted, and I say if or when he is granted a TRO, what does that mean? It means you have a 6'7 guard that's really freaking good and that can play in the SEC and that may be the backbone of your team. That's what it means. You have gone out and spent a crap load of money. You spent a crap load of money on football. You spent a crap load of money on men's basketball. You spent a crap load of money on men's baseball. Well, what should you expect? I'm not asking. Excuse me. I am not asking for Will Wade to win a national title. I'm not asking that. I'm asking him to get to the tournament. If the things that I believe that will shake out for men's basketball, you're damn Skippy, I'm asking him to get to the tournament. If what I believe is going to happen happens, you're damn right, I expect him to get to a tournament. What happens beyond that is beyond me, because you never know in NCAA men's basketball what is going to happen on a given night on the court. But here's what I'll say. I think that with all of that is surrounding men's basketball, we don't talk about men's basketball right now. And we're in the heart of baseball or football season, and we're talking about basketball, but RJ Lewis just sued the NCAA, and that it revolves around LSU. I think every leading story from tomorrow on will be about myself and Nagy's joint report in reference to this happening. It should be. You have a player that just sued the NCAA. With that being said, bring it on. Just bring it. Because there's absolutely nothing that this guy can't do on the court. And if he is deemed eligible when others and hundreds of others have been deemed eligible, I think he deserves the same thing. You're not going to convince me that a tonsillitis should be able to keep a kid in or circumstances should keep kids in school. And then when LSU does it, you have some kind of moral high ground that you want to stand on. Here is the truth about RJ Lewis, the way that I see it. Might not be the way that everybody else sees it, but it's the way that I see it. When I look at RJ Lewis, the 6'7", 200-pound guard from St. John's, obviously was at Massachusetts before St. John's, but he's a 44% shooter from behind the three-point line. Or excuse me. He's a 44% shooter the past couple of years. He's a 34% shooter from behind the three-point line. The last season that he was in college, he averaged 18.2 points per game and was awarded with so many different awards the third year that he was in college basketball. Now, what he is asking is to be eligible for his fifth year of college basketball. He is asking to be eligible for the 26-27 season. Guys, he only played 3 years in college. Three. The way that I see it, Boy, every time I click off a link, every single time that I click off a link, stand by. Stand by for everybody on audio podcast. Every time I click on a link, it does that. Every single time that I click on another link, it does that. But here's the way that I see it. The NCAA just granted a 5-for-5 ruling. In the NCAA granting a 5-for-5 ruling, you can't tell a kid who's asking for his fifth year of eligibility that he can't have it. You just made the ruling. You just came out and stated, oh my God, hey, everybody, hi. You can have a fifth year, but you guys that are seniors right now who would be eligible for a fifth year, you can't have it. In what world is that justified? Well, Blake, he played in the G League. I don't give two Rudy Poos where he played. One kid had a tonsillitis issue. I don't give two Rudy Poos. I could care less when every other rule under the sun is being broken. It's like this. It's like, hey, everybody else is not going to jail for bootlegging, and yet you're mad at me for bootlegging. Al Capone is, well, probably he ain't looking down from heaven, if you ask me. But Al Capone is smiling wherever he's at. But it's the truth. It is the truth. I don't want to hear from any of these people some fake moral high ground that they stand on. So, here's what I tell you to wrap up. RJ Lewis is suing the NCAA. He is going to ask for a temporary restraining order for eligibility against the NCAA. The NCAA came out with a statement saying that they do not believe that they're going to be able to stop any of this going forward, nor can they keep anybody out of the tournament from doing this. So, you know what? Yeah, do it. If it's for your favor, do it. You can't get mad at Will Wade and LSU for bending the rules just like everybody else when they need to. This kid has the ability to be a fantastic player. He has the ability to lead you to a tournament. That's how good RJ Lewis is. We'll see how it all goes. Turns out, I think that from people that I talk to, I know that from people that Zach Nagy talked to, we'll have Zach on in just a moment, there is a lot of confidence that is gained around Baton Rouge for RJ Lewis. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups. If you are on Facebook, if you're on YouTube, use that link. If you're sharing on Facebook, share on Twitter, share to all social media pages. We are on our quest for 20,000 subs. So I need you to send this not to five people tonight. I need you to send this to 10 people saying, hey, man, Blake is breaking down football practice reports. He's breaking stories about RJ Lewis. You need to go and subscribe to AYS Sports. So send this to every LSU fan you know. You will not get Christmas presents from Santa unless you start sending this link. I've already talked to Santa Claus. So to all you kids out there that are probably not asleep and your daddy or mommy is listening to this show, You better tell your daddy, y'all will not get Christmas presents. Santa will not come to your house unless your daddy or mama texts this to 10 of their friends that are LSU fans and you tell them to subscribe. Now, I told Santa, I said, Santa, do you think this is going a little too far? He said, no, Blake, it's not going too far. Santa subscribed. He's a massive LSU fan. So all I'm saying is you need to send this to as many LSU fans as you know. If you're watching on Twitter, hit that repost button. We greatly appreciate it. If you're watching as well on if you're listening, I should say, if you're listening on audio podcasts, do us a favor, rate, review, and subscribe as well. Ricky Pope, the GOAT himself, sends in 60 total AYS sports memberships on the YouTube channel. Ricky, you are the GOAT. Ricky. I'm glad you did this because I messed up last week. I had a lot going on Thursday. I'm glad Ricky did it because we've already, Brandon, you got the tape. We will have AYS sports membership content tomorrow morning. Boy, aren't y'all lucky. So 60 of you that are in this show because of Ricky, y'all need to tell Ricky, thank you. 60 of you are going to be awarded by YouTube for these AYS memberships. Thank you so much. So 60 of them. There's 50 right there and 60. So 60 of it. Some of you need to get back over to Go 24/7 too. But Ricky's got y'all covered. Speckman sent. Let's see. Sorry, Ricky. Speckman sent 50. Ricky sent 10. That's my bad. We breaking news. Zach Nagy got a straight fade. Everything's working up, man. Everything's looking up. So we'll have some AYS members content for you tomorrow. Get Gooder. So, Gooder, I got your stuff in the mail today. I'm sending it out to this week. I got your merch. Get Gooder has been a member for 9 months. Says the SEC better not touch our drum set. Step Brothers, you got to know the reference. I agree. Brian Hunt, who's been a member for 9 months, says, let's go, Blake. This year will be great. I do agree with you wholeheartedly. I do. Blake got them hands on YouTube. Boy, that's a sexy son of a gun right there. Look at that guy in that avatar. He says, 18 days away. Yeah, Brandon Taylor days away. Jacob Hester days away. I did one shadow boxing. I did one bit of shadow boxing on this show, and y'all went stupid. Now I got people putting avatars on here. Hey, I need y'all. You know, I see Blake got them hands. I see this on YouTube. Ask my dad what he made me and my brother do as kids. Me and my brother got boxing gloves as kids. We would box. He put us in boxing when I was a kid. We were in boxing. All I'm going to tell you is your boy's left hook body liver shot is disgusting. Try it. Read my lips because I can't say this. CBS won't let me say it, so I'm going to mute myself. I will... your liver up. Your liver's destroyed. Worse than Jack Daniels on a Thursday night in bogeys. It is destroyed. All right, one more. We got to get rolling. Fran says, $5. I'm sorry I passed out in the middle of last night's live stream on the morphine. Good Lord. I hit you with that liver shot. You're going to feel like you're on morphine. I'm on sometimes kicks my butt. However, the Fran is here. God bless. God bless you, Fran. We're with you. We're with you. I'm sorry you're going through those health issues. Another $5 super chat. How do I gift memberships? I don't know. He says, watching from my phone won't let me. Got hands, I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's somewhere on the app you can gift them. You have to get with Speckman and them. All right. Zach Nagy is in the building. We did break some news with Mr. Nagy today. Let me get to a quick break. We're going to talk about RJ Lewis. Nagy was out of camp. We'll kind of, you know, go back through today's practice and we'll go through the scrimmage. We got a lot that we got to talk to with Mr. Nagy. All right, let me get to a quick break. We're back next. LSU football was out there for day 12. We discussed that. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you anew. Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dreams or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red.
We're back.
The man of the hour, Zach Nagy, just casually walking out of a practice in your breaking news. That's what's happening around here. I guess the Go 24/7 team has been on top of some things the last couple of days, huh?
Yeah, you're right, man. It's always fun. Obviously, working with Blake, man, it's a fun tandem that we got here right now. And practice was great walking out, and we had some stuff to obviously put on the message board and a post regarding RJ Lewis. You killed it. I've been sitting here, you know, typing my little practice report, listening to you talk about RJ Lewis a little bit. So good stuff. And man, Speckman, whoever it is, keeps giving you like 50 subs. I feel like every time I'm like watching or something. I don't know who it is, but damn.
Well, misspelled Matt Moscana with a $2 super chat says he's watching too. So I don't know. I don't know what's really happening, but I do appreciate Speckman for sending in. You got to spell the last name right if you're going to do it. But I do appreciate Speckman. He might need to go over to Go 24/7 and do it. That's all that I know. That's all that I know. But
good point.
In reference to RJ Lewis, let's get into that. So what are your overall thoughts on this situation? So obviously we combine a joint effort in reference to this thing with RJ Lewis. Obviously, he filed this on August the 3rd. On Monday, RJ Lewis will be in a East Baton Rouge court. What are your overall thoughts on this situation with Will Wade and RJ Lewis and him trying to seek eligibility?
This is something where Will Wade's been working behind the scenes for seemingly 3 months now since RJ committed to the program, May 19th or something. So he's been working on this, and here we are, you know, a couple months later. School starts for this program in what, 3, 4, 5 days on August 24th. So look, they're trekking along here. And I feel like this is going to be something where you're in the East Baton Rouge court. You know what could likely occur here. Of course, anything can happen. But for me right now, it's about getting him eligible. They're trending in that direction. We'll see what happens in the courtroom that day, just because anything can happen. But the way that we've seen these things go over the last couple of months make me super optimistic, but cautiously optimistic, of course. Anything can happen.
I would be utterly stunned if he is not granted a TRO. Massively stunned if he's not given a TRO. And I guess we will see as that moves on, but it is something that's going on. And I think that it was perfectly placed at a right time and right situation for when he filed it for certain other legalities and certain situations. So to your point, we will, for whatever it's worth, we will follow that as it continues. There's nothing really, you know, there's really literally nothing as of right now until that TRO is granted. We'll see. We'll see. So we'll continue to follow that. Zach, myself, breaking that news today. Zach has a fantastic write-up on Go247. Use that promo code AY60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. All right. Zach, they're not here for basketball. They're here for football. So obviously, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. We don't really talk injuries, but I know what's going to happen, you know, because of what happened yesterday and some in the media leaking it, even though Lane has asked not to. Harlan Berry seemed to be on the bike today getting some work. Anything else you noticed on that front?
Yeah, I think for Harlan, that was the first guy that you kind of walk in to see if he's participating. And obviously, he wasn't with his position group out there on the field. He was off to the side. Going with the ropes, you know, going up and down with the ropes like that, pretty much the entirety of that media viewing. So working on some stuff with his upper body there, getting loose a little bit. And he was in a white jersey for whatever, you know, whatever it's worth. Maybe when the media left, he got back out there a little bit to go through some light work. But nonetheless, Harlan Berry was back out there on the sidelines with trainers. Malik Elzey, who was absent on Monday, was also back out there working with Sam Levitt and company. The other absences that I just continue to watch are Malik Blockton and Jordan Ross. They were not there again today, which in turn let Lamar Brown get some more first-team reps under his belt, something that you and I have talked about ad nauseum here over the last couple of weeks. But really nice to see Lamar get some more snaps under his belt. But that's a position group that, of course, you cannot afford somebody to miss a lot of days of camp. We're not going to sit here and say he's injured or anything like that because, like Blake said, we're not here. Yeah, we're not here to do any of that. But nonetheless, you know, nice to see Lamar get some more reps under his belt, but want to see Jordan Ross back out there soon, of course.
I do agree. You know, I do wonder what they have for that position group in the future. But, you know, listen, I think a couple of things have happened here, Zach. So this is what I'd say in reference to some guys being absent, okay? You get to see the depth. And, like, you know, we brought this up on Friday. I think you did a pretty great job of talking about this. When Winnie Watkins is not there, you have Jace Brown that emerges, and now it seems like Jace Brown is making some waves. Can guys along this defensive line do the same? And I think this is a shot for Kalaj Cobbins. This is a shot for Lamar Brown. This is a shot for Kalaj Cobbins, Lamar Brown, and Dylan Carpenter. Sorry, it's getting late. So which one of those guys are going to step up? I mean, it's just brass tacks here. Like, hey, the whole next man up mentality has to happen here. With some of the guys being out along the defensive line, I guess my question over the last 2 days would be, what have you seen from that room? Have you, you know, like, do you like what you've seen? And what are your overall thoughts with a couple guys being out? Because, again, Jace Brown emerges with Winnie Watkins out. Now Jace Brown's not really being rotated outside the ones, per sources. So with that being said, I guess what are your thoughts about the D-line now that those guys have been absent?
Yeah, it's a unique position group for me because when I look at the defensive tackles, I kind of question where that top-end talent is. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a ton of depth there, but who's going to be the guy that really rises to the top to make those big-time plays there? Deuce Gerald is going to be great, but I feel like it's inevitable that he hits a freshman wall at some point, right? Lane Kiffin's talked about that. Blake Baker has talked about that too. You know, everybody has said stuff like that. So for me, it's really just about continuing to see who can step up in that room. For me, it's been Deuce Gerald and Richard Anderson. And then Steph Green, you know, he's a space eater. This is a guy who I'm really excited about moving forward. I think when you talk about Deuce Gerald, it's hard not to talk about how he's a little bit undersized. Look, it is what it is. It's an objective take. This isn't, you know, me blowing smoke or anything. He's a 6 foot, 279 pounder. You know, he's technically undersized. So putting a space eater next to him is something that intrigues me. And if that's Steph Green, that'd be great. So the defensive tackle room, you've seen a little bit of Steph Green getting in there, Richard Anderson getting in there. And then you look, of course, on the outside, and it's Lamar Brown operating with the ones alongside Prince Omumielen. Jaden Breaker has really intrigued me. He's just so quick and twitchy, man. Like, he's going to be hard to keep off the field on third down packages, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think he's just that fun of a player to watch. But I'd be doing, you know, the listeners a disservice if I didn't talk about Dylan Carpenter as well, who's been getting some big-time reps too, and somebody that Blake Baker really prioritized when talking about that room on Friday. A lot of guys rotating in and out here. Nobody definitive, like you said, where we saw Jace Brown really step up in the receiving core with Winnie out. But you got a lot of depth and rotation pieces that you can work with, and that's exactly what we've seen so far.
I agree. And look, if Jaden Breaker were 15 pounds heavier, I wouldn't feel as bad. You know, if he could defend better in the run game, I don't know if I'd feel as bad. So it's going to be interesting. Don't read the comments, bro. Don't whatever you do, don't read the comments. They're in there trolling. All right. So obviously you're out at practice today. What are your big takeaways? Obviously I was live when you had your practice report and you posted it. What are your big takeaways from today?
Yeah, for me, man, it was, of course, roll call, you know, checking that out and whatnot. But for me, getting out there and seeing Roman Mothershed still with the tight end group. Now, I know that's something that Lane kind of had a little bit of a look to yesterday when he was asked about it and whatnot. But for me, watching that tight end room has been something really intriguing. And obviously, Trey Dez is going to man that room ridiculously. But, you know, putting Roman Mothershed in there gives you another 6'5" weapon to work with. So it's really intriguing watching that room today. And then the precision of Sam Levitt. During the last 2 minutes of the media viewing, he was going over the top and throwing to the likes of Winnie Watkins, Malik Elzey, and then a couple other guys as well. Hassan Longstreet doing the same, where they didn't miss any throws. You know, it was 6 throws, you know, 3 each and whatnot. But for me, just watching him go over the top with consistency there was super important. It was a slow day in practice. So, you know, I'd be lying here if I tried to blow smoke and say that there were these massive takeaways. But from a quick hits perspective, Sam Levitt was precise today in his throws. Seeing the O-line work on that left side with Jordan Seaton and Bo Bordelon was great. And then Harlan Berry on the bikes, of course.
So in reference to some of these situations, obviously they have a quote-unquote walkthrough tomorrow. I do wonder when they start tampering guys down a little bit, meaning, look, Zach, you are – I mean, Sunday, just so we're all clear about all of this, Sunday – brother, we're in week 0. Like, Sunday starts probably.
Dang, dude, that's a good – I didn't even think about that.
Well, I mean, week 0 will start potentially – I'm not saying that you will start Clemson install, but if – I know media members listen to the show because watch there be a Clemson question tomorrow or Thursday whenever Lane speaks with the media again. Do you start on Sunday? I mean, when do you start Clemson install? And how do you start it? So, like, once Sunday gets here, Zach, we're in game week. Like, I don't know why people say that week 0 is not a game. We got games this upcoming week once Sunday gets here. Like, we are 7 days away when Saturday gets here. So I do wonder, in some of these situations, if you don't start tampering down, I do think Thursday will be physical. I do think Friday will be physical. And I think Saturday will be the ultimate physical test for them. They need to start tackling. And I do think they start ramping down. I really do. And so to your point, like, hey, they were trying to be more precise than physical today. Well, they have an off day tomorrow. And then the next 3 days is probably the most physical days that will be of this camp because then you start. And so, you know, I say this because, look, obviously we have a national show. So I've talked to multiple coaches, some of which last year, I'll just say this, last year, there was a team that played in week 0. And he was telling me, like, Blake, we've already pretty much shut it down. You know, and so I do wonder when that happens. And here's a great question to Lane that I might even ask on Thursday when we get to him. How do you game plan for Clemson offensively? They have a new offensive coordinator. They have a brand new offensive line. They have 2 new receivers. Okay, or the same receivers. Great. But Chad Morse hasn't called plays in 3 years. So I do think that it might be interesting and why you might want to try to go over everything in 2 weeks because you don't really know what's going to happen. Staying on practice and staying on board with that because we'll talk about that a lot next week. Thoughts on defensive side of the football? Anything intriguing on that side of the football today?
I'm going to be a broken record here. But seeing Lamar Brown get more reps under his belt is really intriguing to me.
Again, okay.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and continue to blow smoke and say, like, you know, he's going to start week 1, this, that, and the other. But tell you what, man, like, I'm really, really excited about what Lamar can do. Like, he's just so versatile. You're going to see him slide inside. You're going to see him get reps at the edge. Like, he's going to do a lot for this defense. And watching him today, he's so quick and twitchy for being 295 pounds. It's crazy. So just watching Lamar operate there was something that really – was notable for me. And then Haven Finney getting some reps with that core four today. You know, he worked a little bit of course, you know, alongside Jakeem Jackson behind DJ Pickett and PJ Woodland. But Haven Finney is one to me that I've thought from the jump of fall camp, Blake, was that he could really take that next step. And I'm waiting for him to take it. You know, he hasn't necessarily done it just yet, but he got some bigger reps today with that unit. So defensively, it's been a little bit quiet. You know, your cornerback room, you know what you're working with. safety room. That battle is going to be something of big time intrigue. Just watching Fahim Delane, Jace Thomas, and Tamarcus Cooley battle it out. We've talked about it a lot. But there's some big time questions on that defense, man. The Saturday scrimmage is going to be really important for this team. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And again, I'm not buying Cooley not going to be starting, but when Fahim Delane, like, look, man, one thing that I think you and I, before we kind of talk a little bit about the scrimmage before I get you out of here, one thing that is interesting to me is that, and there's so much to go over, Fahim Delane was laying the lumber. Like, you can put a massive pause behind that. I don't really give a Rudy Poo. I mean, you know, they were on their wide receivers' rear ends about going over the middle because they were alligator arming. He was lighting dudes up. And so I do, again, listen, I don't care what anybody tells me. If you impress Lane, you're going to play. And so
let me ask you this. Yeah, where are you at in the safety room? Like, where are you at? Like, you know, we can talk about Fahim Delane, you know, laying the hammer, doing this, that, and the other. Like, no pause at all. He's kicking, you know what.
Yeah.
Where are you at when you think about the depth chart there? We know Ty's there. The star is Deshaun. Where do you go at that second safety spot?
I have no idea. I have no idea. If you're asking me right now if I need to see Tamarcus Cooley not run out there with the first unit on snap one, play one, I have to see it. I have to see it. However, with that being said, there have been others that have been running with the ones with significant reps. Again, I did not post a video of LSU scrimmage. They did. And we know the guys that run with the second team, and he's running with the second team in a scrimmage. So you know the guys that are running with the first team, and Fahim Delane is that starting safety in that spot. So you tell me, they're starting a season in less than 2 weeks or 18 days, so 3 weeks. They're starting a season in 18 days, and you're going to sit here and tell me that what we're saying here is false when they're running it out there and they're showing you? So again, I think it's twofold. I don't know if I'm getting played. I don't know what's necessarily happening here.
Well, that's what we've been saying, right? Like, are we sitting here getting played?
I don't know. But you can't see a video with the entire offensive line that are starters, the entire defense and linebacker room that are starters, and a receiver goes over the middle, and Fahim Delane is the guy that hits the dude, and tell me that he's not running with the ones, at least getting significant reps with the ones in a scrimmage that Lane said, and I quote, was the most significant practice that we've had. So you tell me.
That's where I'm at, man. Like, there's a lot of questions there, but we're starting to see a little bit more and more during these practices where the rotations are somewhat staying the same to a degree. So, look, there's so many questions for me in that safety room. I can't wait, you know, to see what we hear following the scrimmage on Saturday. But defensively, there are some questions that need to be answered, and there's only 18 days away. So I'm really excited. You know, your top-end talent's elite there. So don't you know, get it twisted. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, the defense needs work. I'm not saying that at all because, you know, speaking with people who were there during the scrimmage on Saturday, they were pretty definitive in saying that that defense looked sharp and damn near, if not, won the day. So there's no concerns for me when it comes to the top-end talent on LSU's defense. For me, it's just about the backups and the depth there. And it's even something that Lane said during his press conference yesterday is that there's going to need to be some guys in the rotation that need to step up defensively.
Going towards the scrimmage, I know that we put this on Go 24/7. So, again, use that promo code AY60 at checkout. You'll receive 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Also, do us a favor if you haven't done so already. There's 1,737 of you in here. We only have a couple hundred likes on the YouTube channel. That is ridiculous. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. We greatly appreciate it. What are your big takeaways of the scrimmage? I mean, I know what your big takeaways are, but for everybody else who are Rudy Poos and didn't subscribe to Go 24/7, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Blake and I were we were dropping a ton of intel on Sunday morning, man, from what we were hearing about that scrimmage. And it started offensively with Harlan Berry and Stacey Gage. The rise of Stacey Gage.
Can I interrupt you? People keep coming in this chat telling me I'm bullshitting about Stacey Gage.
It's not BS. I mean, this is something where it was something that was a surprise. We're not going to sit here and say that this has been something that we've seen continuously during camp, or at least for myself. But at least during the scrimmage, the feedback that we got was that Stacey Gage was a big-time surprise. And when I was breaking down those winners, you know, that I saw during camp, or that not that I saw, but that I received back from the scrimmage, was that Harlan Berry and Stacey Gage were really great during that. And it was a big time plus for them defensively. PJ Woodland had a big time day as well during the scrimmage from everything that I gathered too. Look, Blake, I think that he is in line for, you know, I'm not going to say one of these special Mansoor Delane type seasons because I don't want to be, you know, dramatic, but you know, you talk to Whit Weeks, you talk to the coaches, you talk to other people around the building, and they continuously say that PJ Woodland is in line for a big time year in that cornerback room. So he's another one that got a ton of feedback from the scrimmage. And then lastly, I'm going to talk about, you know, what you've said a million times, I'm sure, is the defensive line room with the true freshmen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, Deuce Gerald. You talk about Richard Anderson and Lamar Brown. What I kept getting back was the havoc that they were creating there in the trenches, specifically, you know, in passing, it kind of giving the O-line some problems in pass pro. So for me, those were kind of the big time takeaways that I received back from a feedback perspective on the scrimmage. And again, it's a lot of what you've said too. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and bore the audience because it's a lot of stuff.
You're not boring. You could say the same thing 1,000 times, but they're going to hear the same. Obviously, I need to ask about Sam Levitt. I know that the video has been deleted at this point, but should anybody have doubts about his mobility?
No. The narrative needs to be, like, put to rest at this point, man. Like, you know, you talk to people who are at the scrimmage, talking about what he was doing from a balanced attack perspective with his arm and his legs. It was super positive. You know, this is something where a lot of people who have been around football for a long time continue to repeat the same thing there. And I know that there's always going to be kind of that level of concern just because he is coming off that foot injury. But damn, man, you know, you kind of got to sit back and stop talking about this, you know, injury narrative and whatnot. I get it. He's coming off of a pretty brutal Lisfranc injury. It's a scary injury, of course, for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But man, he looked good during the scrimmage from what we've gathered. And for me, that narrative's been put to rest since day one of fall camp when we got to see him out there. He looks sharp, and he continues progressing in his timing every day on his passing attempts.
I agree. And again, I think that once fall camp is over, I think a story is going to emerge about him and something that happened earlier this week. Here's what it's going to be. I think everybody has been asking, who is Sam Levitt? I think everybody has been asking, what can he do? And in reference to what this team needs, more than depth, more than NIL, more than anything, they've needed a leader. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is what's going to emerge the week of September the 5th. That on the week of August the 16th, there were events that happened at practice that all 100 of them gained the respect of number 10. And I think that people need to understand, more than the on-field ability, this team has needed a leader. This team has needed somebody that can mold this offense and take charge. And I think that is what is happening right now. And so I think you're starting to see more confidence. And I think here is the truth. Lane made a point in the press conference on Monday that, well, the defense started off and they kicked our ass. And then all of a sudden, the offense, just something happened. As Jeff Foxworthy would say, there's your sign. So I think that they've needed to go through some of these adversity points. And I think that Sam is more than anything gaining the trust and confidence of this overall team. Last but not least, interesting, this receiver room kind of shaking up a smidge. Eugene Wilson. Thoughts?
Tell you what, it's a guy where Blake and I have been in agreement on since the spring practices. The terms that we've continued to use for Eugene Wilson is silky smooth.
Yeah.
He's silky smooth. You talk about a guy, you know, you use the term like shake and bake. Man, that's what he can do. I mean, he's so quick, twitchy. And we saw the highlight that they posted of him making that acrobatic catch. It's what he does, man. There's a reason why he was so highly touted coming out of high school, man. So, Eugene Wilson, it's been a meteoric rise. The wide receiver room is one where I got a lot of eyes on it, Blake. You know, you talk about your top end talent of Jace Brown, Winnie Watkins, of course, factor in Jackson Harrison, Eugene Wilson. It's a really solid core four. But beyond that is where I don't necessarily have concerns. But again, it's who's going to rise to that fifth spot. It's going to be Malik Elzey, Phillip Wright. Who's it going to be? So for me, I'm intrigued to see how it shakes out down the stretch of fall camp and the rotation that they put in there week one against Clemson. But tell you what, Eugene Wilson will be in that core group. He's special. He's a playmaker. And again, when we were talking about the scrimmage earlier, I should have mentioned him pretty much damn near first because he was such a playmaker during it from all the feedback that we gathered, of course. So
yeah,
excited. I think Eugene Wilson's going to be great. SEC experience, a super talented playmaker.
I agree. Anything that I should have asked you that I didn't?
No. I mean, practice today, we hit on it. You know, talked about offense, defense. Got a couple of the absentees that were there as well. Harlan Berry, though, back on the sideline. Some scrimmage intel as well. Go 247. We'll have some more this weekend as well, of course. But no doubt, man. A lot of stuff we gather here in these 20-25 minutes.
Newsbreaker himself, Zach Nagy, Go 247. I always appreciate you joining, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, man. Talk soon.
All right, that's Zach Nagy, Go 247. The dude is exceptional. Hey, all he does is break stories. All he does. I saw y'all in the chat. Y'all leave my man alone. All right, we're going to come back and give a overview through 2 weeks of LSU football. I'm going to give you a lot of my thoughts now that 2 weeks of LSU fall camp is over. Stay with us. Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotions. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to their website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority. We're back! All right. Brandon, you should have ran the other ads, big dog. It's all right. It's all right. I was just scrolling my phone. It's all right. It's okay. All right. Y'all know the ads. Crump Fuel, Drake Williams Law Firm. You know which ones they are. All right. Let's do a brief overview before we get out of here. Obviously, we'll talk about this a lot tomorrow. I see y'all inside the chat. We got a lot of super chats that we need to get to as well. We will get to all of them as well. I see Penn Jones is in here. I see the fake account, so can't help ourselves. If they want to be in here, they're paying me money to be in here. So thank you for paying. So LSU is through 2 weeks of the fall camp in the 2026 season under Lane Kiffin. There are a lot of thoughts that I have that I, at this exact moment, probably don't have the time to go through. So this is what I'm going to do here tonight. I'm going to go through some of the pros. I'm going to go through some of the cons. We will do this in a different way tomorrow. We might even kind of give an early preview look on Clemson tomorrow as well. With that being said, there are three pros and three cons that I look at. So we're going to go pros, and then we're going to go cons. So if there are three pros through 2 weeks that I have personally seen coming out of fall camp in 2026, and in no specific order, just as it came to my mind, this is what I wrote down. Number one, I am of the opinion that this team, that this 2026 team, from the starters, especially the starters, have some very elite talent. I look at guys like Ty Benefield. I look at guys like Jordan Seaton. I even look at guys, for what it's worth, like Eugene Wilson, who I think has been borderline elite to some extent. I look at Princewell Umamyelen. I even look at some of the things that I've absolutely loved from LSU quarterback Sam Leavitt. There's a lot of high-end talent that you went and spent the money for. DJ Pickett, PJ Woodland, I would throw in there too. You have gone out and spent a crap load of money. Tre'Davious Green, I don't know how I missed Tre'Davious Green. There are a lot of high-end talented guys. And when you have that many high-end talented guys, normally it bodes well for you. With that being said, the con to that I guess I would should have just go prone to con. The con to that is that there is a level of concern for me in reference to this team, in reference to depth. I don't think that you have bad depth. I don't think that you have non-talented depth. Like, I do think, as an example, that Brian Kelly had a lot of high-end talent. Like, guys, last year he had a lot of high-end talent. 2 years ago, he had a lot of high-end talent. However, the depth was a massive issue. I don't think it's that. I do think that you have a high-talented depth all across your team. Defensive line, I would even say some of the pieces along the offensive line. Receiver, I think Hassan Longstreet is really kind of coming along, even though he started off slow this fall. I think in the safety room, you got some really good depth with Fahim Delane and Jace Thomas. Corner, you lack depth. But there are just positions that I do worry about. I do worry about the defensive line. Holistically speaking, I worry about the offensive line. Running back, I really don't know. You know, like I think you have two guys that can play now and that can give you a very big uptick in your run game. Beyond them, I'm not very sure. The defensive line and offensive line from a depth perspective does massively worry me. Not that you don't have a lot of talent. You just have so much inexperience. And guys, when you can have the most talented human being in the world, but if they don't have the experience factor in this game, it will hurt them. So where I believe overall as a team, number one, you're very balanced, which is going to be my number two pro. I just don't know that if you, God forbid, and knock on wood that everybody doesn't stay healthy or that people do stay healthy. If you don't, I start getting very worried. Not that you don't have guys that can make plays, because you do. It's just the lack of experience worries me more than I could even articulate that it does. The second pro is that I do think that you're an overall complete team. I think for the first time in quite a while, you can win games on both sides of the football. I can see you winning a game 49-45, right? Like I can see that happening because you have so much explosiveness on the offensive side of the football. At receiver, at tight end, at quarterback, at running back, you and even the offensive line who has shown that they can run this football, you have the ability on any given Saturday to walk in any stadium in the country. And if you told me that LSU and Lane Kiffin scored 40-plus points, 45-plus points, I would say it does not shock me in the least. If you also told me that the week after that, LSU won a game 13-10, it also would not surprise me. I think you're complete. Let me rephrase the way that I say that, because unlike Jerry Maguire, you complete me. I don't think they're national title level complete. I do, however, think they're more of a complete team, and overall, they're very solid. So when I look at the defense, I could see you leaning on a defense if your offense is struggling, and what you might need to do early in the season to win games is lean on that defense as this offense starts to get rolling. I can see later in the season, if you do have some depth issues along the defense, that this offense can pick you up. Here's the problem with it, like a season ago. You asked the defense to be supermen every single week, and they just couldn't do it. They were able to do it against Alabama. They were able to, who was a playoff team. They were able to do it against Oklahoma. That was a playoff team. They were able to do it against Ole Miss. That was a playoff team. But when it came to Texas A&M, when it came to Vanderbilt, there were just weeks when the season and the grueling part of the SEC started to emerge, they weren't able to hold on. So I do think that you're more complete. The con to that is that I do see that there could be a team or side of this season where you look up and you say, man, we're waiting for this position group to get going. We're waiting for this defensive line to get going. We're waiting for this pass pro to be more complete. We're waiting for this. We're waiting for that. and you're not able to find it because you still are in the year one of a head coach. And you might not see the deficiencies now, and that you do have deficiencies as the season goes on. I'm not sure that you have vast issues, right? Like, I'm not sure. Like, I think this team has a very high floor when it comes to the overall weakness of this team. Like, I'll give you an example. I don't really know what the weakest room is. So when I talk about this team being complete, you know, like last year as an example, I would have told you that the offensive line was your weakest link. I don't think Garrett helped them at all, but they were the weakest link. It was not close. I look at this team now and say, I don't know what that unit is. Maybe that is because BK gave us all the practices and we were there the entire time and I was able to see it for myself. So therefore, I can make a determination. But right now, I don't know that. From sourcing, from seeing what I've seen in practices, I think you're more complete. However, are we going to get throughout the season, because this happens every single year, and there is a room that is inefficient? Is it your offensive line? Is it your defensive line? Is it your running back room? I don't think that any, I would say offense or defensive line, maybe, because we just haven't seen enough. But is there a unit that you are deficient that we have just not seen yet because we're playing against ourselves? The number three pro for me, guys, the biggest strength on this team is, you know, here's the funny thing. I do a lot of national radio hits. Like, I was on again today with Mike Dettier. I was in, Vegas, Sirius XM. A guy has a show in Vegas that's on Sirius XM. Was on with him today. You know, I keep getting asked one question everywhere I go, and not so many terms and not so many questions. What is the biggest strength for LSU? What is the biggest strength? Because everybody is wanting to find the deficiencies. Everybody around the nation is looking at you and asking, what is your biggest weakness? No one is, very rarely do I get asked. And when I get asked, it's a very backhanded question. Well, what is LSU's biggest strength? Guys, I love this coaching staff. I think if there is one preconceived notion that I've gone into this camp with and that has been validated to me, I don't think that there's holistically from top to bottom, from Lane Kiffin down to the towel boy, I don't know if there's a better overall staff than yours. I don't know that. I mean, look, Kirby has an elite staff. Okay, fine, if you want to go there. Kurt Cignetti has an elite staff. Fine, if you want to go there. I will put your staff up against anybody in the country, and I can make the argument. I can look at Texas and say that, well, although I think Will Muschamp is a great coach, he hadn't called plays in a long time. I can look at Alabama and say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think their DC, Kane Womack, I think he's out of his element. I don't think he knows his ass from a handful of sand. Like, I don't. I think he's a horrible defensive coordinator. I could look at Florida. I could look at any team around the country and just say that if I'm putting staff versus staff together, I'm going to go to yours beyond a shadow of a doubt. What is the con to that? Because if there's just one overall take that I have that I know is not going to fail, I trust this staff. And you can say it's rat poison. You can say it's honeymoon phase. You can say whatever you want. I'm telling you, this staff is elite. It is an elite coaching staff. If there is a con to this, if there is an issue that I've seen through 2 weeks, is how do they collectively come together? They've never coached games together before. Does Blake Baker go up to the box? Is he down on the field? Is Charlie up in the box? Is Charlie down on the field? How are they going to do this? There's a lot to overcome because you're merging two staffs together. Guys, you're putting LSU's defensive staff and Ole Miss's offensive staff together and say, work. Individually on paper, they're probably a top five, top three coaching staff in the country. They still are, just like this team, having to come and unify themselves and be one. The overall greater good has got to be that Blake Baker and this defensive staff and offensive staff have to be together. I think they will be. For what it's worth, do I think that Lane has an overall philosophy for his football team? This is his football team? Yes. Have I seen him intervene in anything that Blake Baker has done? No. So when he goes out there and says, look, that's Blake's side of the ball. And quite honestly, Blake, you know, Lane admitted, look, man, we went out there in that scrimmage and he came out, they came out and whipped our candy ass. Okay. It's the biggest strength for you guys. It's not close. They are elite at what they do. Elite. So you ask me when I started off the show yesterday and I said, hey, I got that feeling, man. I think you're a good team. You know where I lean my head at night and lay my hat or put my hat on and say, this is what I'm the most confident in? It's that. Adversity doesn't just strike players, though, guys. It also strikes coaching staffs. When shit hits the fan, how does this coaching staff come together? You know, I'll never forget this. I was listening to Kirby Smart about 2 weeks ago. Was it SEC Media Days? Maybe it was SEC Media Days. I was listening to Kirby Smart at SEC Media Days, and they asked him, what is the thing that you would tell every young head coach in the country? And it was the reason that I asked Lane when I asked him about the CEO thing. You know, I asked Lane last week. What's it last week? This is all starting to merge together for your boy. I asked Lane last week, hey, maybe it's 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. Hey, CEO, you've taken the step back. You're going to be on the offensive side. We all get it. Defense, you know, you're the CEO now. You know, Kirby Smart answered that question about the same as Lane Kiffin. I had to delegate. I had to be the head coach. I'm not an offense or defensive play caller anymore. And Kirby said, I lost my first national title as a head coach because I refused to delegate. I refused to do it. The next season, or the season that we won our first national title, was the first season on the defensive side of the football, I delegated everything. I let the coaches coach. They're hired for a job, and it's their job to do it. I won back-to-back national titles. And he didn't hint and say that I kind of got more involved the last couple of years in the defense, but he hinted at it at SEC Media Days. And he says, look, I got to delegate again. It's essentially what Lane Kiffin's saying that he's doing. Does that mean you win a national title with the same? Hell no. Does it mean that there's a philosophy to this madness? You're damn right. You know who also said it, by the way? That same exact thing? Kurt Cignetti last week. We didn't have the success when I was micromanaging everything. So it will be interesting. All right. Let's get to some Super Chats. Penn Jones with a $5 Super Chat says, Blake, if that's the real Mascana calling you out, please let him up and own his arse. That's not him. He spelled it wrong. This guy spelled it wrong. Trolls, man. How about this? Penn, think about this. This dude came in here and trolled and paid me to troll. What an idiot. I know it's $2. I get it's $2. What an idiot. I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to. You're going to pay us money? You're an idiot. Good for him. Omar, the LSU Tiger with a $2 Super Chat says, can I hold a quote unquote, hold on to that ball, Petey, tonight? Hold on to that ball, Petey. You know, that young girl passed away. That young girl passed away. Sad, man. I watch that movie every year before the season starts. Penn Jones with a $2 Super Chat says, can LSU pull press passes for those breaking rules? They can. Look, let me just say this. Lane has asked not to talk about injuries. Unless it's significant, I'm not talking about it. Go to someone else. I'm not doing it. He thinks it's a disadvantage. Why would I put, if your head coach saying, hey, please, I'm asking you, why would you keep doing it? And then all of a sudden, there comes Harlan Berry again. Speckman says you've been on 24/7 since they announced. Member for 11 months because you're the GOAT, Speckman. That's why. Ricky Pope with a $2 super chat says Blake R-E-L-A-X. Probably do. Probably do. Alan Antonio says a paid troll. Laughing face emoji. I mean, again, the dude, bro, do you know how unhinged you got to be to come in here and troll and then pay me? Like, there are levels of stupidity. Like, there are levels of outright blatant stupidity. That is one of them. A guy in me, because that guy doesn't like me, right? Like, that whoever that is, that guy doesn't like me. Whoever that troll is does not like me. That's why they're doing that. They're trying to get a rise out of me. They're not going to. And then he comes in here and says, you know what? I'm going to get Blake tonight. I'm going to get him. I'm going to pay him money so that I could try to get under his skin, even though this Rudy Poo has done 1,500 episodes, actually more, with Rufino and Joe Show. And you think that you doing that is going to get under my skin. What an idiot. You paid me your hard-earned American money to troll, and then you look like an idiot. You know, parts of me thinks that people like this dumbass, that you're going to pay me money and I'm just not going to read it. Why would I? There's no obligation. Oh, well, I paid you money and you didn't read my comment. You're in here trolling, you dumb son of a gun. Idiot. What an idiot. You know what I wish? Before we get out of here, here's what I wish. I wish 100,000 people would come in here and troll me for $2 super chats. You know, every time that you send a super chat, it boosts our algorithm. So you can hate me, and that yet people, more people are going to. Brandon, how many people are in here? Live, yes. 1,981 people are in here live right now. We better get 1,800 people liking. That's all I know. Idiots. See y'all tomorrow, man. Peace.